gritted teeth, misdirecting my anger towards him. He cocks his head, giving me that dangerous smirk yet again.
Because if I don't get to be the one to make you come, I at least want to see your face while you're thinking about me.
You arrogant prick. How dare he? Assuming I'd only be thinking about him to get off. I can't stand how right he is. Hawk gets up, stalking closer to my side of the couch, sporting a cocky grin before dipping down to my ear.
You should be thanking me.
Just go, I say with a scowl, looking past him at the TV behind his head. He scoffs and makes his way back towards his room. Patrick rejoins me, smiling like he just accomplished the impossible. Probably because he did. This is the first time I've ever climaxed with him. But he doesn't deserve the credit. He doesn't deserve the pompous look about him right now. I hate the idea that he thinks he did that alone. He didn't. It was all Hawk. It's always Hawk. 21. Speaking with no sound. You know the feeling when you're just agitated and the presence of another person literally drives you mad? That's where I'm at. After the incident on the couch, I went to bed. I wanted to be alone, to sit with myself and process my emotions. Think things through and come to some sort of understanding or clarity as to why I've been acting the way I have, but also why Patrick's been acting the way he has. It's out of character for me to be so reckless and deceiving. Even so, with my infidelities, I just can't seem to stand Patrick anymore. He followed me into the bedroom with his confident stride, and that alone killed me. I've been with him for years. Years. And not once have I had the explosive orgasms I seem to have with Hawk. I literally came looking into his eyes. Who the hell does that? I guess the part I'm struggling with most is that I so desperately want Patrick to be the one. The one that starts my insides churning at the sight of him. The one that brushes fingertips across my arm and I'm on fire. The one that lures me in with his eyes and has me smitten with his words. But he's just not that guy. And realizing that is sending me falling through a whirlwind of confusion. He's comfort. He's happiness. He's, for the lack of a better word, easy. Being with Patrick has truthfully been easy. We don't fight often. We practically never yell. He does his best to make me happy. He strives for a future for us. But maybe that's where the problem lies. Everything is brushed under the rug. The deep-rooted issues, the plans for the future, the truth of the past. It's all just lingering. Just as I'm grabbing for my phone to do the Google search for the truth I've been putting off, the answers to what happened to Hawk, Patrick slides his hand across my abdomen. I lay still, not trying to send all the signals I can. I'm not in the mood.
That was pretty hot earlier. Did you like it?
He asks into the back of my neck. He nuzzles into my hair, attempting to connect with my skin. Yeah, it was nice. Just different. I cringe while saying the words.
Different?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, you've never done that before. Why did you keep going after Hawk came out of his room? It was awkward. It wasn't that awkward. It was needed. But still, it doesn't negate the fact that this wasn't like him at all.
I don't know. I just thought maybe you wanted to try something different. I tried to switch it up for you. Now I'm getting yelled at. I can't keep you happy. Just always complaining.
Pat, come on. You can't be serious.
Nick, I try my best to keep you happy. I do. But lately, I'm just tired of trying. I work so hard for us, then come home to you nitpicking the next thing. It should be easy between us at this stage in our relationship. You know what I expect.
What you mean to say is, I should listen to you by now and abide by what you want as far as relationships go and not speak up if something affects me. My sarcasm is oozing.
What's gotten into you lately, babe? I thought we had a good week.
He makes a pained face like my sarcasm hurts him. I sigh, frustrated, not knowing what to do to make this better. Yes, we had a good week. He finally put some effort into us, but anytime I try to address an issue, I get treated as if I'm just nagging and complaining. How can I ever truly tell him how I'm feeling? It's like I'm speaking with no sound.
Listen, I'm leaving tomorrow. I don't want to do this tonight,
he says, wrapping an arm around my waist and pulling my back against him.
I don't want to leave on a bad note.
Pat, I just don't know anymore.
Nick, you have got to be kidding me. Do you know how lucky you are? How blessed you are to have a man who's working his ass off to support you?
There are things we don't talk about. Things we should get to the bottom of.
Don't start up with this drama again. You know who I am.
He quickly tries to shut me down. But I don't. Not in the ways I should, and you don't know me in the ways you should. I linger there, wondering if I should just let it all out.
I know you. I wouldn't have had you move here if I didn't. Now, let's stop this. I'm leaving tomorrow and not like this. This is the end of the conversation.
He keeps doing this, negating the fact that I'm trying to express myself, brushing off whatever I bring to him. It's like my feelings don't matter. Not enough to rock the boat, anyway. I can't do this if this is how it's always going to be. Wrapping an arm firmly around my waist, he pulls me back into him. I know in his head he planned to have sex tonight. He assumed that's what would happen after the living room incident, like I owed him that. But I just can't. I'm not in the right headspace. To be honest, I haven't been since Hawk. His hands get friendly as they drift down my thighs, tracing his fingers up and down the length. I turn to face him. We should really get some sleep. We have to be up early for your flight.
Come on, it won't take long,
he says, urging me on. Trust me, I know. I'm sorry, Patrick, I'm just really tired, I explain. He huffs and rolls over to the other side of the bed. Why he's upset? Who knows? Frankly, I don't care. It's not like I've never been in his position. I literally go to bed every night after we've been intimate in his exact predicament. Luckily, sleep takes us, and before I know it, I'm saying goodbye to him at the airport the following day. It's weird between us, the energy. There's a hesitation, and it's coming from me. He leaves with the same promises to call and text often, but I know now how it's going to be. When he leaves, I go down on that totem pole again, lower than I should. There's something about it that feels like a turning point in our relationship. I'm becoming aware of myself and my needs, and it can only mean one thing, an ending. I spent the rest of the day working on my laptop, catching up on manuscripts, sending in my work, and editing until my brain literally tells me I need to eat. The rumbling was one thing, but this lightheadedness isn't helping me to be productive anymore. Reluctantly, I head towards the kitchen in hopes of finding something quick to eat, then continue working. As soon as I leave the bedroom, I lock eyes with Hawk in the living room. He turns to face me from where he's sitting on the couch. I continue on my way towards the fridge as I see him get up and approach me from the corner of my eye. I'm nervous. I know myself, and I know I can't resist him. Especially knowing Patrick isn't here now. The temptations are too much for me, and I need to be careful. I'm too confused, emotionally and mentally, and what I'm doing to him isn't fair either.
Cole.
His voice is soft behind me. Yeah? I answer quickly, not turning. I grab the makings for a sandwich and lay it all out on the counter.
Any chance you can leave the house this afternoon?
My forehead creases as I drop the butter knife. I turn to face him with my mouth agape. He taps his fingers on his jeans, just raising his brows, eyes darting around the kitchen until they fall on me, as if waiting for me to agree. Leave the house? I ask, making sure I heard him correctly.
Yeah, like in a few minutes.
He says it with zero remorse in his eyes, checking the clock on the stove, then focusing back on me. He has someone coming over. Are you kidding me? He lowers his eyebrows.
No, I just need you to leave for like an hour.
His simple answer, without a hint of empathy, is crushing. Wow, I scoff, putting the makings of the sandwich away. I can't believe the nerve of him. Asking me to leave so he can fuck around and not feel guilty? Sorry if I make it hard to bring women back to your fuck shack. It didn't matter before he screwed me, but now I guess he has morals. Or maybe it's just that he doesn't want the women wondering about him living with another girl, making it easier to get what he needs from them. Either way, the thought bothers me. I pack my laptop and everything into my bag to head out, but stop, turning to face him in the kitchen where he's leaning back against the counter, just watching me. You know, that's low, even for you. He stands there with a pained face, and I don't understand it at all. Why are you hurt that I'm being forced to leave? This is such a dick move. I spend the rest of the afternoon at a coffee shop in town with my laptop. I can't work. I can't think straight. I wait and watch the clock as the hours tick away, knowing my night shift is coming faster than I'd hoped. I click away on my computer, hitting the Google search engine on my screen. I stare at it, then decide to investigate. I type the name out on my mission to gain some insight into this situation around me. Ben Collins. Tons of articles come up with the name. It's quite common, so I narrow my search to the town, Clarkston. An article pops up immediately with an image attached to it. I recognize the boy. It's the same kid that Hawk had a picture of in his shoebox. The same scruffy, dirty blonde hair with a smile that could break hearts and kind eyes to match. Scrolling through the page, I find a eulogy. Ben Collins, the loving and caring son of Darla and Jim Collins, tragically left this world before his time. He was very well loved and had a passion for architecture. He loved his friends and enjoyed spending time with them at the family cabin, blasting Phil Collins whenever near a stereo, laughing his unique and roaring laugh, and always showing up for people who needed him, or what we'll miss most. He was our light, our happiness, our joy. He will be missed beyond words. I sit back in my seat, absorbing it all. Phil Collins, Huck's favorite tattoo. Could he have had something to do with his death or the situation surrounding it? Is this why he went to prison? What happened? I search for the next article to find out what happened when my phone rings, making me suck in a breath. I'm hopeful it's Patrick, maybe calling me to tell me he landed. But when I look at the screen, I see 9 to 5 slide. Hello?
Nick, hey, it's John. Sorry to bother you at home.
Huh, if he only knew. It's fine, John. What you need?
Any chance you can head in a bit earlier tonight? We've got a wedding party coming in, and if you're available, I'd love the help. Ah.
He sighs, sounding overwhelmed. I got you. I'll be there soon.
Ah, Nick, you're the best.
I head straight to the bar from the coffee shop, wearing the ripped jeans and old tied-up Kiss shirt I put on this morning. Normally, I'd go home and change, but screw that. I'm not going there. I don't want to deal with Hawk and his slew of women. I'd rather die. 22. Walking, not talking. John and I get started on another busy night. I welcome the business with open arms, anything to keep me moving and keep my mind off how confused and frustrated I've become between Patrick and Hawk.
What's got you down?
John asks as he fills up a beer next to me. I shake my head, rolling my eyes, trying to forget the exact reason, until the reason literally slides in through the door. Hawk's putting out a cigarette before he strides into the bar confidently with Kid by his side. He runs a hand through his hair, pushing it out of his face before nodding at Kid to save their table. I glare in their direction, and John notices.
Roommate issues, eh?
Something like that. He chuckles, looking from Hawk to me, then back.
He looks pissed.
What's new?
Shit, he's looking.
John says before widening his eyes and moving away. Hawk stares straight at me as he approaches the bar. I glare back at him, not backing down from his direct gaze. He places both his hands on the wooden surface as I take in the view of him in a form-fitting black shirt, his arms covered in those mindlessly placed tattoos, his inky hair styled back perfectly with a few pieces dripping down like they always do. I fold my arms across my chest at his threatening approach.
Why didn't you come back before your shift?
He asks abruptly. What? What a strange question.
Why didn't you come back before your shift?
He asks again with an aggressive tone, causing a man next to him to look questionably at him, then me. What the hell does it matter? Hawk! I scold, feeling ridiculous for how he's making me look right now. I wave to John, letting him know I'll be a minute. I need to handle this somewhere that isn't in front of all the other patrons and regulars. I walk around the side of the bar, pulling Hawk by his upper arm to the hallway over by the bathrooms. What the hell are you doing here? I ask, letting his arm drop.
Having a drink. Why didn't you come back? I asked you to leave for an hour, not the entire day. Why the fuck didn't you come back?
He asks again, loudly. So I could see you take out your trash? No thanks. I scoff, eyeing him condescendingly.
That's not...
He stops himself, grinding his teeth, standing straight and running both hands through his hair while processing what I said.
Oh.
He narrows his eyes while nodding as if figuring it out.
So that's how it is. Okay, Cole.
What else would it be? Using people must be your favorite pastime. Lord knows you've done enough of that with me.
Oh, and you aren't using me?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I said it. You use me. You use me to give you a high, anything to make you feel alive in your miserable, mundane life. But that's as far as it goes for you in your perfect, calculated little world. Too stuck up to see the truth right in front of you. Too damn blind to open your eyes. Back to assuming again. Guess I should just go ahead and be who you think I am, huh?
You're such an ass, I whisper through clenched teeth, feeling myself on the verge of tears.
You used me to get off with your fucking boyfriend. Do you have any idea how much that bothers me?
He growls, leaning over me against the wall. I swallow, looking from those passionate eyes to his full lips and back. Bothers you? He glares at me, through me, seething at the memory of Patrick touching me. He's jealous.
His hands on you, your mind on me. I saw it. Why the fuck you continue to put up with him and his shit is beyond me. I thought I knew you better than that, but I guess I don't.
Everything with him has meant way more than what he assumes. I've never used him in that sense. If anything, I've only fallen more into this undeniable feeling for him. I'm afraid of that truth, and he's pushing it out of me. He leans in closer with a dark look in his greenish eyes, using a hand to brush my hair behind my ear, making me feel the heat of his touch before he brushes his lips against the shell of my ear.
I just wonder if, even after you're married, you'll still need to think of me to get off.
I shove him from me as hard as I can until he hits the opposing wall of the hallway. He hits it with a grunt, the air leaving his chest. Piss off, Hawk, I say, before turning and leaving him against the wall. I stomp back behind the bar and try my best to forget the fact that he's here, but of course, he and some of his guys all congregate together towards the back, making it clear they aren't going anywhere anytime soon. I could kill him for what he said. He knows just how to get under my skin, toy with me, tease me. But for the most part, I'm fearful that he's right. After helping a handful of new patrons, I turn to John, figuring out where I can help him.
Hey, Nick, can you take a tray of shots to the back table for me?
John asks, using the register. He's as busy as ever after my little moment to go talk with Hawk, so I feel guilty for not helping. That is, until I see who it's for. My eyes dart over to Kid, who's leaning against the bar, sporting a huge grin.
That'd be great, Nick. Thanks so much.
Groaning internally, I take the tray and walk it back to the table all the guys are sitting at. I set each shot glass down for them while Hawk leans back in his chair, one arm draped between his legs, the other hooked on the back of the chair with a girl dressed in practically nothing, sitting on his lap. He tilts his head back as he watches me wait on him. There's an arrogance about the look that's making me want to break something. I'm hot inside, hot with anger.
You're the best, babe. Here, I bought an extra so you could do one with us.
Kid smiles, pushing one shot towards me.
Nah, she can't handle it. She looks like the kind of girl that has a weak gag reflex.
Hawk comments with a flat face, the girl on his lap eyeing me before she giggles. The guys all laugh at my expense. My eyes narrow as my nails sink into the palm of my hand. He's such a dick. He's bitter because I make him jealous. Now he's taking it out on me the only way he knows how. Embarrassing me.
I bet she can handle it.
Kid wiggles his brows with flirtation. I grab the shot in my hand and throw it back in one gulp. I hate whiskey, but you better believe I downed it before them. With my eyes burning into Hawk's, I slide the empty shot glass until it bumps into his on the table. Bring them back up to the bar when you ladies are finished, I comment, with venom on my tongue before turning, leaving them all staring. I hear Kid laugh, then tease Hawk about something, but I'm long gone before I can hear anything else. I try to keep occupied, but every time I look up, I see Hawk in my line of sight. Couldn't they just go to a different bar? He knows what he's doing. He knows I see him. His floozy date is getting handsy, and he's apparently taking full advantage of it. Is he really trying to make me jealous? He's insane if he thinks that's going to work to win me over. If anything, it's making me more angry by the second. They walk to the bar together as he orders her a shot. I pretend to be busy, so John takes their order. Clearly not what Hawk wanted. He makes a display of sticking his tongue down her throat, hands scouring over her body as soon as I become free. It's disgusting, and it definitely bothers me more than I'm willing to let on. I finish the night a bit early. John lets me head out as the crowd dwindles down, insisting I could head back home after hearing about the coffee shop incidents and seeing my rage for the roommate who's under my skin. I grab my bag, checking to see if I have any missed calls or texts, and I see a text from Patrick.
Patrick, here.
Here. All I get is a here. A forced one at that, simply because I complained about it. Not to mention the fact that he would have arrived hours ago, but from the time on the message, it appears he just remembered to text me. I roll my eyes, throwing the phone back into my bag and setting it on the counter to clock out. I look over one last time to see their crew all huddled in the corner, playing darts and sipping their drinks by one of the pub tables. Hawk is just sitting at the table by himself, slumped down, looking down into his drink as his finger runs along the edge. He appears to be deep in thought. At least, that's what I'm assuming. I've literally seen how much he drank tonight, and it wasn't much. I throw my bag over my shoulder, turning to leave when I'm met with curious eyes from the old jukebox. Kid is looking at me with a cocked head. My heart rate increases, knowing he just saw me staring at Hawk. He gives me a little two-fingered salute before heading back towards the guys, knowing I'm leaving, so I give him a little head nod and a tight-lipped smile. It's not like him to be so quiet at my departure, or at any given moment, knowing his exuberant personality. I brush it off and push through the doors. It's a rainy, chilly night, matching my emotions as I head towards my car. I hop in to start it up, but when I do, it doesn't turn over. It won't start. Shit! I slam my hands down on the steering wheel, beyond frustrated, then decide to walk to the bus stop down the road. Maybe I can make the last one on time. I dart out of my car, holding my purse above my head to try and deflect some of the rain, but it's pointless. It's pouring, and I'm instantly drenched. I hate everything about this day. As I'm walking along the side of the road, on cue, a car slowly creeps up behind me. I don't even need to turn to see who it is. I can feel it in the way the hairs raise on my arms. My stomach turns over. My heart skips a quick beat.
Get in,
Hawk calls out from the window of the old Mustang. You know, you shouldn't steal cars. You can get jail time for that, I spit out.
Get in the fucking car, Cole.
Fuck you. I don't normally curse like this, but I'm irate at this point. No possible way I'm going to allow Hawk to be the hero of this day. Nope, never. I'm too stubborn for that. 23. The car. The car parks, and I hear him slam the door shut, followed by feet shuffling towards me. He grabs my wrist, spinning me to face him.
Let's go. You're not walking home in this rain.
Let me go, you asshole! I yell, attempting to pull my wrist out of his firm grasp. He doesn't let go. He pulls me to the car where I place my hands against his chest, pushing back away from him any way I can. We're wrestling against each other as the rain pours down on us, my hair now drenched as he presses his hips against mine, pinning me in place.
Get in the fucking car!
He yells, slamming his fist against the top. His voice startles me, and I pause in place, taking in his angry demeanor. No! Leave me alone! He opens the back door, wrapping an arm around my waist as he throws me on the seat. I bounce with a grunt at the force he uses. Brushing the wet strands of hair back out of my face, I turned to see him in the back alongside me. What are you doing? I attempt to shove him back, the anger coursing through me, but he quickly grabs my wrists, holding me against him.
You don't listen.
Don't you touch me! I hate you! I scream, feeling overwhelmed and upset at the fact that he's overpowering me. He grabs my upper arms and pulls me closer to him, tightening his jaw at my words. The look in his eyes is wild. The rain has his hair piled all over the place while water drips from his locks. His toned arms are wet and slick, and his shirt is clinging to every mound of muscle underneath it. The emotions are bubbling over. All the confusion, all the lust, all the embarrassment, the regret over the past few weeks. It's all turning into rage. The words seem to affect him, so I say them again. I hate you. I fucking hate you. You're sick. All that stuff you were doing in there, all this stuff these past few days. For what? You said it means nothing to you. Quit with the mind games. Leave me alone. I yell into his face, beating my forearms against his chest. And I do. I hate him for how he makes me feel. I hate that life isn't simple anymore. I hate that he is the only one who can set me on fire. And I hate that he makes me truly look at myself for the person I've become. I hate that I feel raw and vulnerable around him.
You hate how I make you feel. You hate how you can't stop thinking about me. You hate that the thought of me with someone else drives you wild, but you feel like you have no right to own that. Quit lying to me,
he says in a firm tone, shaking my arms as he speaks. I lift my chin to him in defiance against all these truths. It's you I hate. His dark eyes smolder through me. He isn't put off by my rage. If anything, it seems to only bring more intensity to the situation. His mouth is open and his breathing is wild and out of control, matching mine.
Yeah, show me how much you fucking hate me.
He grimaces, grabbing the loopholes of my jeans and pulling me so I slip down, my back now on the seat. Stop it, Hawk! He pauses for a minute, trying to catch his breath. There's a deep, dark pain in his eyes. He slowly leans forward above me, arms bracing his dripping frame.
Tell me you wish we never fucked.
He growls as his hand travels, wrapping tightly around the back of my neck, forcing me to look at him. I know what he's about to do, and I can't stop it. He's making me face what I don't want to face. Reality. I wince my eyes tightly and he squeezes his hand, forcing them open.
Tell me you hate how I make you feel.
The forceful aggression that's oozing out of him has my head spinning. I don't want to like it, but something deep within me craves him. I want him to possess me the way he naturally does. His hands travel from my neck to my chest and further down my abdomen as his skilled fingers pop open the button to my jeans. Hawk. My voice is totally breathy and uncontrollable as I lift my hips to allow the pants to come off. I know what's happening, and I don't want it to stop. I want to put up this fight, to deny what I'm feeling, but I can't anymore. I crave him in all the ways I wish I didn't. He places his hand over my underwear, rubbing the spot that aches the most.
You want this. I know you do. You need me. Tell me.
No, I shouldn't do this anymore. Not with you. Not like this. I moan, pushing his hand away from me. He sits back on his heels and slams the seat of the car with the back of his hand, screaming out.
You don't know what you want.
He's right. I'm attempting this game of acting like I don't know, when at the moment, all I want is for him to keep pushing me over the edge, to send me off into the deep end, because I know if he pushes, I'll willingly go. If he doesn't, I may stay locked up in this prison of my own doing forever.
God damn it, Cole, you drive me fucking mad!
He pulls at the roots of his hair, dragging his hands down his face.
Tell me you didn't want to break something in there watching me with her. Tell me it didn't drive you crazy.
Hawk, I prop myself up on an elbow, grabbing his shirt. He was doing all of that just to hurt me like I hurt him every day with Patrick.
You know you need this. I know you do because I need it too.
He presses himself back on me and begins kissing the side of my neck. Hawk, I moan breathlessly and I can't figure out if I'm trying to stop this or not anymore.
Kiss me.
He demands, grabbing the side of my neck. He presses his mouth to mine and I wince in pain. It's a pain of knowing he's what I need. I'm in total denial and losing the fight with each second that passes.
Kiss me, damn it.
He says against my mouth before plunging his tongue between my lips. He groans deeply as he presses his erection into me through his jeans. His kiss is desperate. He's aching for me as our tongues touch. His hands run over every curve of my face, our breaths meeting each other in the air as we fall wildly, madly into this cycle. I'm his drug, and his fix is finally getting met. The kiss intensifies and I'm left moaning at his departure. I want more. I need more. He straightens, looking down at me with heat in his gaze, quickly unbuckling his pants, pulling them down just enough to expose himself. He's hard and ready for me. My mouth drops open at the sight, eyes suddenly heavy with lust. The excitement brewing inside me feels like it's about to pool over. I close my eyes, swallowing down any type of regret that may follow this, and just fall deeper and deeper into the darkness with him. He tears open a condom with his teeth before sheathing himself, then grabs the front of my underwear, roughly pulling it to the side before lining himself with my entrance and forcefully pushing inside of me. Oh God, I moan at the sudden fullness, throwing my head back against the seat of the car, his eyes on me. He pulls back, pressing his lips against mine. He's aggressive in his motions, his short, quick breaths making it seem as though none of this is in his control.
Oh, lie to me, Cole. Tell me you hate me.
A deep groan leaves his throat, staring down while pulling almost all the way out of me, leaving just the tip of him inside. My hand grips the wet shirt on his back, clawing for it, needing what he's taking away. I hate how much I need him. I hate how he drives me wild with passion. I hate that somewhere, some deep place inside of me, wasn't fulfilled until him. I hate you, I gasp as he drives back into me. Oh, I hate you so much. He grabs a handful of my hair from the back, pulling it firmly, forcing me to look up at him while he thrusts into me harder and harder. I spread my thighs to accommodate his body, needing to feel him as deep as I possibly can.
Oh, fuck.
He rasps, pressing most of his weight on me against the back seat of the car. He feels so good inside me again. Slick, hot, and hard, sliding in and out of my wetness. My entire body ignites with a fire that I've been missing. Shockwaves course through me, lighting every nerve ending in a matter of seconds. There's no replacing this irreparable sensation. He's an enigma, the only problem worth solving to me. He's everything I hate admitting to myself that I need.
Tell me you missed this,
he says in a pleading tone that almost makes my heart ache. I know how much he needed me, just by the way his eyes are barring through my soul. Gasping at his force, I try to form words, words that fall breathlessly from my lips. I missed it. I missed it so much. I hold him to me, gripping the hair at the back of his head with my fingers. It's as if we can't physically get close enough. The both of us grasping at each other, pulling one another in to connect at a level that is more than physically possible.
Fuck. I need you.
He groans before he presses his lips firmly against mine. He kisses me like I'm the only thing keeping him here. The only lifeline keeping him alive. My tongue against his soothes him in a way no drink, no drug, no other woman ever could. I need you, Cameron. I pull back, touching his face, making sure the words reach him. The truth is there for him. I can't fight it anymore. I won't deny this to myself. I can't. There has to be more to this feeling of undeniable need. It's not all lust. His eyes search mine desperately, as if trying to determine the validity of this truth. His forehead presses against mine as we continue to stare into each other, reaching our destination together. I scream out, clawing the back of his neck with one hand, the other gripping his shirt in my fist. I come around him, losing myself in the moment just before he releases with a deep, guttural groan. We breathe heavily together, basking in the aftermath of our connection. It's then I realize how reckless we were, how easy it was to fall back into this cycle of madness that's grown between us. I'm literally losing myself in him and the way I can't refuse this. His face finds mine, his mouth still parted as he looks on the verge of passing out.
Call,
he says breathlessly, searching my eyes for regret, worried that what happened will end like last time. But I can't deny what I'm feeling anymore. He's forced me to face it, and there's no going back. I reach up, grabbing the back of his hair and pull his face to mine. I want more. I need more. He's the drug I never knew I needed, the high I never want to come down from. I've fallen, deeply, irreversibly so. And we kiss. We kiss while still connected. We kiss until our lips are swollen and used. His hands gently cup my face, memorizing the curve of my cheekbones, the feeling of my nose against his, the angle of my jaw. The car is now completely fogged up as our breathing slowly regulates. He finally pulls out of me, fixing himself up as I do the same, struggling to put my wet pants back on. Why can't we stop this? It's so irresponsible, yet feels so necessary. I can't let him go. Just as I'm falling back to the same routine of getting in my head, he turns to the back window and begins writing something backwards on the fogged-up glass. My brows knit together as I attempt to read it. We just fucked. He turns to face me, a surprising smirk playing on his lips as I playfully gasp at his crudeness. He opens the door, getting out of the back seat, and holds a hand out for me. I take his hand as our eyes connect. There's a softness there, a realization. So much seems to have changed in a matter of minutes between us. One minute, we're screaming at each other in the rain. The next minute, we're wildly fucking in the car. The next, we're playful. I don't know what happens next. There's no manual for this type of situation. We're mindlessly floating through time and space, recklessly doing whatever we want, no matter who it hurts, no matter how horrible it seems because it feels right to us. It's a terrifying realization. After getting back into the car, Hawk reaches over and grabs for my hand, pulling it onto his lap. He turns to me, bringing the hand to his lips and kissing each of my knuckles softly. The look in his eyes, piercing and serious, filled with nothing but the weight of his emotions. There's still so much beneath that exterior, but by finally admitting my truth to him, I've gotten under that first, seemingly indestructible layer. I suck in a breath at the unexpected and sweet gesture. We make the trip back home as I notice a new look in his eyes, a determined look that wasn't there before. He seems so confident and clear all of a sudden, as if now he knows exactly what he wants. The thought of it bewilders me. How can you feel so deeply for the one with all the secrets? We continue down our dark road together, sinking further into the shadows of our desires, all while the fogged-up, we-just-fucked car cruises through this small, intolerant town. 24. Brick from a Wall. After pulling back into the driveway at the house, we both pause for a moment to awkwardly look at each other. I bite my lip, holding back a grin as he leans his head back against the headrest, toying with his lip ring, looking back at me with that sexy little smirk I've come to love. We don't know where to go from here. What to say?
"Let's get out of these clothes,"
he says, pinching the shoulder of my wet shirt. I raise my eyebrows suggestively.
"Because you're soaked, you nut? You're gonna get sick or some shit?"
We head inside, where I walk forward facing the kitchen. The place is dark and cold and definitely void of Patrick. I feel that pang of guilt stab me in the chest again, knowing I've added to my laundry list of transgressions. Getting lost in my head, my eyes become fixated on the setup before me. There, at the table, is an array of snacks. I'm talking popcorn, Junior Mints, Sour Patch Kids, Mike and Ike's, Milk Duds, Skittles, Butterfingers, Nerds, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you name it. Every type of movie theater snack you can think of is stacked on the kitchen table. In the living room, all the blankets are piled up with pillows strewn about, making a massive bed on the floor. I hear Hawk come up behind me, tossing the keys to the car on the counter, clearly watching me take it in. I clench my back teeth together, wincing as I attempt to hold back the pain.
"I know it's not my place to do this, but I thought maybe a movie night, binging some mafia shit, would cheer you up."
I place a hand over my face as tears fill my eyes.
"Hey, I'm sorry if I assumed you'd even want—"
"No, I sniffle, interrupting him. I just hate myself so much. I hate who I am. I assumed you were—
Don't hate yourself. It's okay, Cole. I understand what I've walked into here. You're still in a relationship and I literally just got here and I know I don't make it easy.
He grins lightly, trying to cheer me up.
You're an amazing person. You are.
I just can't believe you did all this. And for me? I was so mean to you. The tears keep flowing. I can't stand it. I can't stand the fact that the guy who's known me less than 2 months has done something more meaningful than the guy I've known for years. Buying new shit is one thing. Putting effort into knowing what I enjoy is another. My thoughts run to Patrick as my eyes drop to the floor. The sick feeling taking over again. Hawk reaches for me, pulling me into his chest, wrapping his arms around me before lifting my head to face him.
Oh, Cole, stop. I was a dick. I wanted you to feel the pain you made me feel, so I acted like an idiot to fuck with you. I'm literally no better. Plus, if it makes you feel better, this wasn't the reason I asked you to leave earlier.
I swallow, nervous to know what the real reason was. I look back up at him, wiping my eyes, waiting for the truth. Praying this wasn't a date set up for someone else.
I didn't want you to be here when my PO came by.
He sighs like it hurts him to admit it. Your parole officer?
Yeah, I just...
He stalls, running a hand through his hair before grabbing for my hands in his. I squeeze his hands gently, rubbing my thumbs over the backs to comfort him, knowing admitting this part of himself isn't easy for someone as closed off as he is.
I just didn't want you to have to ever deal with that side of my life. It's not who I am. It doesn't define me, and I didn't want to put you in an uncomfortable situation.
My heart breaks in half. I'm just a shit person. Here he is, making plans to try to protect me from his past, something that haunts him every waking moment of every day, then sets up a fun night of my favorite things to cheer me up, all for me to just shit all over it. Cam, I say softly, reaching up to touch the side of his face. You are so much more than a past. His body visibly sags, as if my words alone lifted the weight he'd been carrying. The blue and green swirls of his eyes pour out the torture within him as he looks into the depths of me. He's questioning if I'll catch him when he falls, knowing that day will come. There will be a time when he'll tell me everything. The time will come when he can trust me with every secret he has. He just hasn't learned that yet. I tilt my head up, reaching for his lips with mine to give him a sweet, soft, and comforting kiss. Everything about his lips on mine feels like home, the place I need to be when the world around me is falling apart. Come on, let's get you out of these clothes. You might get sick or some shit. I reiterate the words he spewed off at me a minute ago with a suggestive smirk. I pull him by his wet shirt into the bathroom. Once we get in there, the playful mood has shifted once again. Things are different now, and as if we're both aware of this, the smiles have dropped and the look of desire begins its takeover. He removes his shirt, tossing his damp hair in the process before helping me with mine. I turn, starting the water in the shower as he quickly removes his pants. My mouth drops open at the sight of him standing naked before me. I feel like a virgin all over again, taking in the vision of a man before me for the first time. I'm blushing. The heat of my face mixed with the need pooling inside of me again is a dangerous setup. He confidently strides forward, approaching where I'm standing, frozen in place. He slides the straps to my bra down, one by one, eyeing me for a response. Hawk, I swallow.
I'm sorry.
He puts his hands up, taking a step back. No, I whisper while shaking my head. I walk forward to close the space he puts between us, making him wrap his arms around me. You just make me a little nervous. He cocks his head with an anxious stare.
Why?
Because I can't control myself around you. And I'm a pretty controlled person. I grin. He licks his lips, looking at mine.
Losing control is what you need to set yourself free.
I think about that for a second, but before I can say anything back, he leans down, kissing me again. He licks my top lip with his tongue, then sucks my bottom lip between his before sliding his tongue through to touch mine. Everything about the way he kisses turns me on. He's so precise in his movements, changing up the pressure from gentle and soft to forceful strokes of his tongue massaging mine. He has a half-naked body in front of him, but all he does is hold my face while we kiss, as if he can't get enough of that alone. The way he holds both my neck and the back of my head in his large hands, while making it clear that kissing me like this excites him, is enough to have me undoing my pants to join him. He pulls apart from the kiss, resting his head on mine for a moment. He closes his eyes tightly, then licks his lips before abruptly backing up and stepping into the shower. I stand there, taken aback by his departure. I watch him through the fogged-up glass. He roughly runs his hands through the long hair at the top of his head, running his hands down his face before placing an arm out against the wall of the showerhead, letting the water rain down on him. He's wearing a blanket of pain again. The bricks that were slowly being removed for me from that wall have stalled. He can't let me in, because he's fearful of what may happen if he does. I don't know what to do. I know what I should do, and that's leave this bathroom. But I can't. I step out of my remaining clothing, kicking my wet pants aside and removing my bra before stepping inside the warm shower. With my chest rising and falling and the feeling of fainting upon me, I approach him from behind, slowly and softly touching the tattooed muscles of his back. He sucks in a breath at the contact, then turns around to face me. The water is sprinkling off his back, raining down from his form to me. He parts his lips, searching my eyes for something, anything that gives him some sort of reassurance. I can feel his hesitation. You said you needed me, I say softly, searching his eyes for the truth. Yet I get the feeling you're not the type of person to need anyone.
I'm not,
he answers quickly. I bite the corner of my lip, then look away. So what is this then, Hawk? What's happening between us? He takes his wet fingers, turning me to face him again.
I don't know, but it's the worst feeling in the world.
The pain in the truth of what he's emitting is palpable. What do you mean? He releases a deep breath, moving me so I'm against the back wall of the shower, where he rests an arm against the wall above me, shielding me from the water. His other hand reaches up and pushes the hair back off my forehead before tucking it behind my ear. He holds the side of my neck, his thumb running the length of my jaw before his eyes connect with mine.
I'm staring at the only thing that's got me feeling things after years of feeling numb. The only eyes that have ever made me question myself and who I am in their reflection. You're right here in front of me, yet we're just out of reach.
I wince my eyes, knowing exactly what he's referring to. He wants me, but is left with the assumption I won't jump. Left with the idea that I won't fall along with him when he tiptoes himself off that ledge, assuming I'll just stand there, watching as he plummets to the earth alone. I don't understand this, I whisper, speaking my emotions, attempting to process everything.
You don't need to. Don't try so hard to make it make sense. It doesn't. It's not supposed to.
I need it to make sense.
Why? To justify how you're feeling?
Hawk.
Listen to me, Cole. Whatever this is between us is real. Don't ever let your own thoughts or anyone else's get in the way of knowing that.
He says, pressing his chest against mine, the look in his eyes filled with a deep seriousness. I take a breath, my mouth dropping open at the closeness. Yes, I'm a calculated person, but everything about him is a gamble. The part that scares me is I've never been more ready to play a hand, not knowing if everything I've got on the table will be gone with the flip of a card. It's becoming more and more worth the risk just for the chance to win him. You told me in the car that I don't know what I want.
I don't know that you do.
He shakes his head, looking back and forth between my eyes, sadness exuding him. Our faces are inches apart as he gazes from my eyes to my lips, hanging on to my words like his next breath will only come by the next few off my tongue. But I do. I want you. My bottom lip is quivering as I say the words. I've never felt so nervous, so scared, so vulnerable, so open in such a way. I feel as if I'm stripping myself of the body I was born into, shedding all skin and bone until my beating heart is the only thing left open to him, exposed and waiting. His face holds relief, but is quickly replaced with pain as if a realization has come over him. He pauses, furrowing his brow before tightening his jaw.
You don't even know me.
He turns away from me quickly, allowing the water from the shower head to reach me and warm the chill of what the words he spoke have just done. 25. Getting in. I wash up, then exit the shower. His words, while cold and off-putting, aren't enough to push me away. Not now. Not after everything. I get into something comfortable, a pair of heavy, oversized sweatpants paired with a crop-top sweatshirt to match. Throwing my wet hair into a bun, I walk out into the living room in search of Hawk. The living room is dark and empty, leaving me to wonder if he left. Maybe it's too much for him to open up to me. He's scared of his feelings, just as I am, but for different reasons. I pass the empty kitchen, then knock softly on the door to his room. It creaks open, so I peek inside, but it's dark and void of him. With a frustrated sigh, I lean my head against the doorframe when my phone alerts me to a message. I walk over to where I set my bag on the table, opening it up and pulling out my phone. It's a message from Patrick. Instantly, I feel a sense of nervousness.
Patrick, just got word that your car is still sitting at the bar. What happened?
You've got to be kidding me. Someone around town notified Patrick about the whereabouts of my car? My stomach feels like it drops 30 stories as I go over my steps, wondering if anyone saw the interaction between Hawk and I down the street from the bar. I could literally vomit. Nick. Yeah, it wouldn't start. Hawk was at the bar with his friends, gave me a ride home. I'll have Marty from the shop take a look at it tomorrow. That should cover the situation a little bit, right? I anxiously await a response.
Patrick, you have to take care of your stuff so this doesn't happen. Tell me what they say tomorrow.
Unbelievable. I roll my eyes to the back of my head, huffing out in anger. There's no, are you all right? Or, I'm glad Hawk was there to give you a ride, or I'll make sure to call the shop for you and have them figure it out. No, it's my fault it happened. My responsibility to figure it out. I'm fine to handle it on my own, but it would be nice if I had a partner who cared enough to attempt to help me. Then again, who am I to talk? I hear the door behind me open, so I drop my phone. Hawk is closing the door, shrugging off his jacket. I get an immediate whiff of smoke, connecting the dots to where he just was.
Hey,
he says, dropping his coat on the back of the chair near the door, staring at me with a solemn face. He looks drained, emotionally drained, as if he's been having an internal battle and is finally at the point of breaking. It pains me to see it. Come here, I demand, watching him stand there, shirtless, with his hands in the pockets of his sweats. He strides over to where I'm standing, biting his bottom lip while watching me with a cocked head. I throw a bag of Skittles at his chest, and he catches it quickly, looking down, then back at me with a confused face. Sugar up. I'm gonna need you awake. Ozark isn't going to watch itself. I grin up at him while he holds the Skittles to his chest with an easy smile, wiping away the previous seriousness. It's like an unspoken moment of truce. We don't need to figure everything out right now. He needs me to revive him, just like he was planning to cheer me up with this night of just being together, just hanging out, as friends who need each other's support. Now is when we enjoy this alone time we have together. I'm not letting him get away that easily. We grab handfuls of the goodies he bought and bring them over to the blankets, setting up all the snacks in the center. We laugh, we talk about light topics of conversation, we throw popcorn into each other's mouths. The energy is amazing. Our vibes are totally in sync. We're both being indirectly flirty and having fun, carefree, and I truly feel that our night has come full circle. Hawk dusts his fingers of popcorn salt, sitting back against the base of the couch in the heap of pillows, looking at me with what I can only describe as admiration. Maybe people just don't know how to take a guy like Hawk. The rough exterior is barricading the kind heart inside. Inside is a soft soul, a sensitive one, one he's taken years to build that wall around. I'm sure his life has provided little opportunity to showcase that, but I see it. I can see it in the subtle way he looks out for me. He's caring and empathetic by nature. So, tell me something honest, I say. It can be anything, just has to be real. He tips his head back against the couch, looking at the ceiling while thinking. I take the opportunity to admire his throat and Adam's apple. He's ridiculously handsome, in such a masculine way.
Well, I didn't quit my job. I actually got fired.
Hawk, what? Are you kidding? What happened? My jaw drops open as I lean forward to hear more.
To be honest, they wanted to switch me to first shift, meaning I'd work normal hours during the day. I told them I didn't want to and that I was going to stay on third, and the guy threatened to fire me if I didn't comply, so yeah.
Wait, what? Why wouldn't you want to work normal hours? Third shift sucks. He rubs the back of his neck, wrinkling his forehead in the cutest way, looking from me to the wall behind me and then back. He doesn't want to tell me.
To be honest, I didn't want to give up our time together.
I stare at him in disbelief.
If I worked first shift, I'd never have you to myself, and I just couldn't do that.
He says with squinted eyes, putting his hand in front of his lips and chewing the tip of his thumb, watching me for a reaction. Hawk, I say, almost scolding him. He gives me a weak little shrug, as if he can't help the fact that needing time with me means more to him than losing his job. Because I work from home during the day, he made it a mission to get a job working all hours of the night just to ensure we could spend our mornings alone together, sipping coffee and watching gangster flicks, even if it meant he'd be drained and ridiculously tired. My heart is expanding so much inside of my chest, I think I might explode before him.
Being able to just kick it with you the past however many weeks has become my saving grace.
I scoot up closer to him, settling between his outstretched legs, my hand resting just above his knee. What do you mean? He sighs, looking at my hand before his fingers toy with the tips of my fingers. The feeling is sending butterflies to the pit of my stomach.
You've kept me from destroying myself more than I already am.
I'm not going to push him, but I get the sense that maybe being with me has helped to get him out of his own head, focusing on something else besides whatever heaviness that's bogging him down. I have a hard time believing anyone truly and actively wants to get to know Hawk for who he is. He's the bad boy, the dangerous one with a record, used for a wild night of fun and partying. Maybe the fact that I keep trying to know helps him to see his worth. He brings my hand up to his mouth, softly kissing each one of my finger pads. My lips part as my chest rises and falls at the sensation that seems to be a direct line to my center.
You're up,
he mumbles.